While not the best combination to be used together, Amazon.com has got great deals on pantyhose and trampolines. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Amazing Race podcasts like these when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's the mix master of podcasting, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our live Amazing Race Monday night show. And we're going to talk about everything that happened in episode number 4 of Amazing Race All-Stars and have a lot of fun here with you guys along the way. With me is my co-host. Here she is. She is at Haymaker Hattie on Twitter. Please welcome Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob.
Yes. Not excellent like yesterday?
No, I've downgraded to great.
Downgraded. Okay. And with us as well, our special guest today from Amazing Race 14. And she has a lot to do with all of the favorite CBS reality shows nowadays, working in casting. Please welcome Jody Winczewski. Jody, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Jody, did you survive the earthquake okay without any damage to any property this morning?
Well, I'm actually not in LA.
Oh.
I work out of Houston, and I go back and forth to LA for work.
Okay, so you dodged a bullet.
So I wasn't in LA. Yeah, I wasn't in LA during the earthquake.
Yeah, no damage over here. Everything was okay. All the podcasting equipment was unharmed. Dominic was good. A little bit of a jolt. Everything is okay over here. So, all right. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. We are live on a Monday night on Rob Has a Podcast. We've got the chat room going on robhasawebsite.com. We're going to be taking your questions as well on Twitter, hashtag RHAP. Jessica Frey is monitoring Twitter. And of course, you can post your questions directly onto the YouTube video, and we can put them on the screen as well when you go to our YouTube video at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. So a lot to do here today on a non-elimination leg of Amazing Race All-Stars here, but it's setting up to be a very fun rest of the way. So we're going to take your Amazing Race questions and go through all of it. So I guess we should start here on the evolution of Brenchel, Jody. Have you been impressed as somebody who I'm sure has monitored the career of Brenchel very closely, that at this stage in the game of what Brenchel has become now, the benevolent helpers of racers?
Yeah, I actually have been really impressed with them. It's so much different from when I first saw them on Big Brother to where they are now. And yeah, shocked that they were helping people out and, should I say, a lot less annoying and just, I don't know, like a normal race team that you kind of root for.
Wow. Yeah, who would have ever thought we'd hear normal and Brenchel in the same sentence?
I know. It shocks me.
Now, as a racer, though, when they stop to basically give the pep talk to Margie and Luke, and they don't know that it's a non-elimination leg, we don't think, unless they have, you know, are really banking on that the first three legs were elimination legs. Did you like seeing that, them taking the time to pump up another team, or is that what any good part of the race family would do?
It's not what any good part of the race family would do. I remember some issues even between like Luke and Keish and Jen on our race, where they were like fighting over a clue box that would have, you know, helped somebody 5 seconds, you know, given them a 5 second lead. So no, it isn't what every good race team will do. It's nice to see. I think it's happened more so in these recent seasons. And there's definitely people, you know, that help out and do well, and then others that don't.
Now,
like
you,
Amy was a great example of that from last season. They won and they helped out a lot of people.
Yeah. Now you raced with Luke and Margie in their original season, right?
I did.
Yes. So you have the inside scouting report on Luke and Margie. Have you been impressed with what you've seen from them this season?
I'm always impressed with them. They're tough. They run really well. They work really well together. And it's such a tough thing when, you know, I think when they were rafting down the river and they couldn't communicate, and they still managed to pull it together. So, you know, they're a tough team. They're really strong. And I'm glad to see they have another chance.
Now, last night we had the big meltdown between Luke specifically in the Sky Bar. Were you surprised to see that big of a breakdown from Luke?
No, I was not surprised at all. Luke has his moments, you know, and Margie is really great at handling him and not really letting him get away with it. Luke loves Amazing Race. He loves every single thing about it. He's like so thrilled to be a part of it. And he just is really competitive and he can't stand to lose or not do well. So to see a meltdown out of Luke, not really surprising.
Yeah, it was really bad that he really just took all the glasses and just threw them on the floor. I mean, is there any sort of rule in Amazing Race? Like if you damage Amazing Race property, like what would you have to do break at one of the challenges for you to be just eliminated on the spot?
You know, I don't think there's a rule about breaking things on the challenges. You can't break or hurt other people's belongings. But I don't think I don't remember there being anything about not breaking anything. I mean, half the stuff's designed to break anyway, so you can't really have a rule like that.
Jess, is there a precedent for breaking the props on Amazing Race?
Not that I can think of. I remember somebody had a broken ox, but I think that was a different situation.
Okay. Do you think that anybody from this season of Amazing Race is out celebrating St. Patrick's Day drinking 4 red martinis and 3 yellow martinis?
No, but I bet Rachel's wearing her shorts.
Yeah.
Those shorts kill me.
Yeah. Jody, do you wish you got to do something fun like go to Sky Bar?
Yeah, Sky Bar looked pretty cool. I mean, I think that challenge looked tough. And we're probably too short to be able to get the liquid into the glasses without making it a disaster. I think I probably would have gone for the other challenge.
Do you think that
it looked easier?
Do you think there was real alcohol in those glasses, or do you think it was just colored water at that point?
Probably colored water. They were wasting a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to do that 47 times, I mean, you're getting into, it's got to be about $2,000 in overpriced Sky Bar drinks, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's probably just water, food coloring. I mean, they already broke all their glasses.
I mean, how many times did Brendan and Rachel go? They got to figure 45 attempts, 7 drinks, an attempt at least. That's running up a huge tab.
Right. You're right. I mean, they had some tough challenges. That jumping thing some of the people did that in the 40s as well.
Yeah. I'm going to take a bunch of questions as we go along here through the show. I've got about 30 questions in already. So as we're talking about things, I'm just going to pop in some questions. Here's All from right. Nick2S wants to know, wouldn't it have been better for the show to provide teams with uniform footwear for the bamboo trampoline? Well, what do you think about that? That we saw that Jessica's feet got really beaten up during that challenge. Should there have been uniform footwear? Would that have helped things?
I don't know. It might have helped things, but some people knocked it out in a heartbeat. They wouldn't want to take in the time to put on footwear. Who knows? I mean, the locals probably don't wear uniform footwear. So the whole point of the Amazing Race in general is to do things like the locals do it.
Okay. And so the locals, they do it without any sort of special footwear when in Rome?
Well, I'm assuming, or they would have, if they had special footwear, they would have given it to them.
Yeah. Have any of the teams in particular impressed you this season that have done anything that you did not think that they were capable of and gone to a new level in coming back for the second or third time?
Gosh, you know, all my shows run together. I mean, I'm always impressed with Dave and Connor because I think they're just a really strong team and they work really well together. I don't know. Tell me. Oh, well, I mean, Jet and Cord, I thought, built that raft really well, but I'd expect them to build the raft really well. I can't remember who was it that got in the raft when it was falling apart before it ever hit the water. That surprised me that they would have even attempted that. I think it might have been, was it maybe Jessica and John?
Maybe. And I think I know that Margie and Luke's raft was falling apart as they were getting in the water, and I think Brenchel's was too.
Yeah, John and Jessica, their raft looked really bad, but it didn't collapse.
Okay. Well, yeah, some of them, I mean, when your raft is not even cohesive when you're getting into the water, I wouldn't think you'd want to go down rapids on it. But, I mean, I guess it worked for some people. I just, you know, I would have expected the Cowboys to make a good raft. I would have expected Dave and Connor to make a good raft. Yeah, I don't know about the others. I was happy to see Big Easy float. He looks like a lot of weight to throw on
Yeah.
that
Jody, how about the Afghanimals? That they've come around. A lot of people have changed their tune on the Afghanimals. Like my co-host on this show in particular, did not really care for the Afghanimals in season 23, but now is like a huge Afghanimal supporter.
I mean, they're all right. I don't like them or dislike them. I mean, I like them as people. I've met them. They're nice guys. I feel like they're kind of always putting on a show. And from a racing standpoint, it's kind of like, you should race, you know? And we're worrying a little bit more about the actual racing part. But I mean, they're interesting, entertaining, having a good time. They always have a good time.
Now, can you set up for the people who may not know what you do in casting for these shows? Because I wanna touch on this a number of times in this conversation tonight.
Okay, well, I cast. I find new people for reality shows. Basically, I mean, most of the time it's Survivor and Amazing Race. I've done a little bit of Big Brother and then some random shows when people need help. We don't always get all of the applicants that we need to fill all of the slots to kind of represent all of America. So when we're missing things, then I go help find them.
So you are like a hunter. You find people that fit a specific, you get like a briefing on here's what we need, and then you go out and look for these people.
Yeah, a lot of times that's exactly what I do. I
You're like
do
a
have a
bounty
lot of people.
hunter.
Kind of, yes. It's hard. Sometimes it's harder than that. But I do have people that have applied a bunch of times and just for some reason or another haven't made it through the process. They just have kind of got missed along the way. So I don't only put in people that, you know, we just find randomly, and we usually do want them to know the show and be fans of the show, et cetera. So,
Can
but
you
yeah, we're looking to fill holes.
tell us some people that you found?
Yeah, sure. Well, let's see. Most recent, Kat and Hayden, both independently.
You found both of them, and then did you match them up also?
I didn't match them up, but they met at one of the reality events when we were all talking.
Wow,
So if
look at
it wasn't
you.
for you, they would not be together.
No, they probably would have met at a reality event and met each other there.
But they wouldn't
But
have gotten on the show
oh,
without you.
that's okay. I guess that's true. I guess that's true. So, but let's see. Whitney Duncan, the Culpeppers,
Whoa.
Brenda. Yeah, I mean, got good people. We got really good people. Chase is like killing it in country music right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lots of
Wow.
them. Jeffra's on right now. Chuck and Winona from Amazing Race. They are pretty funny. Well,
Yeah.
we have to thank you for that because I was a huge Chuck and Winona fan.
Good. Yeah, they're great people. Love them to death. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got like an in with all of the country music stars. What about Jen and Caroline? Was that you?
No, it wasn't. I don't know who found them. Maybe, oh, you know who else knows a lot of country music is, oh my gosh, Jamie Huffman.
Okay.
Jamie Dugan Huffman, because her husband's in that industry. So I think she found them.
Now, going back to when you talk about the Afghanimals and, not racing and doing stuff for the cameras, as somebody who has a connection to casting, does that annoy you more when people are doing stuff for the cameras and not just being a racer?
To me, I just like to see, I mean, maybe that's how they are real life every day, and that's great. But I don't like to see people acting. I want to see people just like compete. So for me as a racer, I just want to see them competing as hard as they can. And sometimes they're like taking time and showing cars and playing with kids. And I think it's important to play with the kids. But I don't know. Sometimes it just seems like a little over the top, a
Okay.
little more on the acting side.
So does it annoy you as a racer or as somebody in casting?
Oh, for sure, as a racer, because in casting, it's great TV. It's good for TV, and it's awesome, you know.
Okay.
The more they want to entertain people, the better.
All right, let's take some more questions. Here's a question from John Clark. Wants to know, why did Jody bring a rolling suitcase back in Amazing Race 14? Okay, why did you have a rolling suitcase?
Well, first of all, because I'm a flight attendant and we have rolling suitcases. And second of all, I'm about 5'2" and I have stuff and I didn't want to carry it everywhere I went. So I just like rolled it along, and it also converted to a backpack. So we could pick it up and throw it on our backs anytime we wanted to.
Okay. Should more teams do this?
If they want to. I mean, it worked really well for us. I mean, for the girls teams, especially, a lot of times they're having the guy, or like, you know, mixed teams, they'll have their boyfriend or their husband or somebody carrying all their junk. We didn't have that option. So it's like, why not roll it around? I mean, there's a lot of downtime where you're just carrying around all your stuff. And so if you want to have stuff, I suggest you roll it around. If you want to carry it around, great. And maybe you just, you know, don't pack as heavy. I don't know.
Would that have been the better way to go for Bopper? Would he have not lost a rolling suitcase?
Well, I don't know, because it still would go on your back like a backpack. And if you just leave it in the street, you're still going to lose the dang thing. So that was unfortunate. I guess it was miscommunication because they were new partners.
Okay.
But unfortunate.
All right. Mike Bloom wants to know, Jody, were you able to chat with other flight attendants on your flights throughout the race? Did that come in handy? Were you able to get tips from other flight attendants?
Yeah, we absolutely talked to the flight attendants. They hooked us up with extra food, which was nice since you have very little food on the race. But yeah, we would ask them questions. If you've been to the city and, you know, how far is the train? And because you never really know if you're going to take a train next or a tech cab, whatever they would know about the city. But we definitely talked to the flight attendants.
Could you tell them to not give food to the other racers? Like, you see those guys back there? No peanuts.
Well, we probably could have, but as flight attendant, I know they'll do it anyway because you have to be nice to everybody.
Oh, but so they would tell you, they're like, oh, okay. And then they would still give them peanuts?
Well, no, they had like extra they were like, you have any sandwiches back there? Like they hooked us up.
Oh,
they
yeah.
gave us like extra like food that we could take in our backpacks and get out of there.
Yeah. Cause I'm forgetting international flight. You're getting probably a full meal. This isn't just like, snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got real food. We needed it because you don't have very much money on those legs. I mean, I guess what people don't really understand is if you want to eat, it comes out of your race money for the most part, unless you're at a pit stop. And there's not very many of those throughout the course of the race. So you're eating, I mean, I probably had, I don't know, 30 granola bars in my bag, and that's what I ate most of the time.
So you brought granola bars on the race in your backpack?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even think you were allowed to do that. You can stock up on food and rations?
You can. You have to carry them or roll them in my case.
But, is that common? Yeah. Do most teams do that?
I think a lot of teams have something. I mean, you want to have protein bars or trail mix or something. I mean, you could go a long time without food. And if you're racing and running and everything else, yeah, I assume they did. I don't really know what they had in their backpacks.
Jess, did you know about this? Have you heard about this before?
I've heard a couple of times. Like there was one team really early on, they kept kosher, and so they brought a whole bunch of their own food. But the thing I want to know is, are you allowed to steal food from the pit stops and take it with you later?
Well, there wasn't really a lot of food at the pit stops. It was kind of like being in this, like a big, huge family with like, I don't know, 14 kids, and you had to eat fast and grab it as fast as you could. A lot of times you'd run out of food by the time the last teams were rolling into the pit stops, and it'd be something like, you know, spaghetti, or, you know, you can't like take that along with you in your backpack.
Well, you can, it just doesn't travel well.
Yeah. We didn't have plasticware things like that.
This is a good question. Nick 2S wants to know, did Phil diss Caroline and Jen by saying he was surprised with them showing up fourth? Like, yeah, he was sort of weird about it too. He was sort of like, Jen and Caroline.
That was a weird reaction. I do remember thinking, well, that's kind of rude.
Phil was cranky at everybody last night.
Oh yeah. Who knows? I mean, maybe, he didn't sleep well, but yeah, I don't think he expected that. He probably just doesn't expect them to do all that great. And I mean, it may be reasonably so, because they would have been out without that express pass.
Yeah. Phil is being very passive aggressive in Amazing Race All Stars.
He can be, for sure.
Yeah, talking about how people aren't good at rapping and all these things. I guess Phil is a morning person. He doesn't want to have that pit stop so late at night.
Yeah, maybe somebody made him mad.
Yeah,
catch him late at night, he gets kind of probesty.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's a good adjective. Okay. Let's see. This is a question going back to casting from Mike, and he wants to know, how does casting work when Amazing Race decides to pull from the Survivor Big Brother pool? Do you just ask the contestant if they have someone they'd like to run the race with? So how does that work? We've seen going all the way back to Allison from Big Brother to Jeff and Jordan to Rob and Amber, Jenna and Ethan, Brendan and Rachel. How does that do? Does the team put out, just let it be known, hey, we would do the race? Or does CBS reach out to the team and say, hey, have you considered doing the race?
It can be both. It can be both. I mean, I think there's not a lot of people that don't want to race around the world for $1 million. So I think, you know, most of the time, if you're going to ask somebody that's done a reality TV show, they're going to want to do it. And we don't, in those cases, their partners were obvious. So we didn't have to ask, hey, do you have a partner? Some people make it very well known that they want to do Amazing Race. And until more recently, they haven't done a lot of the crossover.
Yeah.
So now it's an option.
I feel like that's got to hurt your campaign when you really let it be well known that you want to do the Amazing Race. I feel like that's more bad than good.
I don't think so. I mean,
you think it's good?
Well, I mean, most of the time it doesn't do you any good, because CBS is going to put whoever they want to on that show. And they pretty much know that most of the people they've seen on the shows will do it. However, it is good to let it known that you want to be on Amazing Race, or if you are on a different show and want to be on Survivor, because not every single person wants to do both. So it doesn't hurt to let somebody know, hey, I want to do that.
Should you sort of do it like, well, I've got so much going on that maybe I would do the Amazing Race, but I'm probably like really busy and I got so many things going on. I can't commit to it, but it would be, I bet it would be fun. Is that the move?
Would it go that direction? Knowing my boss,
I feel like the less you have to do, the better.
Lane would be like, fine, if they don't want to do it, we don't need them. We'll get somebody else.
So the move is to say, be like, I would drop everything to go do Amazing Race. Because I feel like you don't want to come off as desperate, right?
No, but I mean, we only want people on the show that want to do the show. So we want fans of the show. We want people who want to do it. Like, just because you were on Survivor doesn't mean you follow Amazing Race and that you know the show and like the show and want to do it. So we need to know that.
All right. So you got to put out signals that you're very excited.
Yeah, I would be excited.
But don't come off as desperate.
Desperate's not so great.
Yeah, okay.
But you do want to be excited. And
enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. Let people know you're a fan and want to do it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's different than you don't want to be aloof. It's different than meeting people at a bar.
Yes, it will be different. Different than meeting people at a bar.
Okay.
It's not quite a job interview, so that you have to be quite over the top like that. But yeah, you want to be excited about it. We want to know that you want to do it.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, how about from Mr. Air Sonic wants to know, the Sky Bar from this season versus the Shake Mega Disco from season 5, which was better? Jess, is this? I think this one is up your alley. Did Jess freeze?
Yeah, you guys both froze for a second.
Is
she back in there? You're back. I don't know if she
okay.
is.
Okay. Do you have a preference on Sky Bar versus the... versus the Shake Mega Disco?
I don't remember. Tell me more about that. I don't remember.
The Shake Mega Disco was the foam party.
Montevideo. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. They're different, but both fun.
Yeah, I thought the foam party looked amazing. And honestly, I've been to Montevideo. I didn't find anything nearly that cool there. So I don't know where that is.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go to another question. This is a question Andy Bales wants to know about. How would Brenchel do on Survivor? And how many hashtags would Brendan coin this season? Brendan's been on fire with the hashtags this season. Both?
Yeah, he has. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a smart, witty guy. How they would do on Survivor, I would think not very well. I think they'd have big, huge targets on their backs, and they'd probably go out early.
Interesting.
I think this kind of naturally leads to the question, who do you think is going to be the first person to do the CBS Triple Crown?
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to answer that.
Oh, okay. But do you, how about this? Do you think it will ever happen? Do you think that someone will appear on all three shows?
I think there's a possibility.
Okay. I actually think that Brendan and Rachel, I think would actually, I'm a little more, bullish on them on Survivor, I think, than you are. I think that they would be okay. Cause I don't think that people would be like, I don't think that people would target them and say, oh my God, they're such big threats, such a big strategic threat that, you know, we got to get rid of them. And I feel like, especially like now that we're seeing this softer side of Brenchel, where they're actually getting along well with other people, as opposed to the Big Brother 12 version of Brenchel, where they drove everybody crazy. Like, I feel like on Survivor, that half the game is just getting along with everybody. And if you can just sort of, you know, make friends and be fun to be around, I feel like that goes pretty far on Survivor.
I agree with you. I think I looked at it more like Rupert, where it's like you've played too many times at too many things. You've had your chance. We want you gone.
Yeah, that's true. If it was like a bunch of new players and Brenchel, I feel like that would be worse for them than to say like a bunch of returning Survivor players, and then Brenchel was there with them, and it's sort of like, hey, we're all reality people. Yeah, so new people,
that's true.
They might get Jimmy Johnson there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they would. If they were with a bunch of returning players, then for sure there's going to be other ones that they will think are bigger threats, and they're going to go after the biggest threats. And I mean, they're nice people. They're perfectly lovely to hang out with outside of, you know, television. And they seem to be easy to hang out with inside of television these days as well.
Yeah. They've turned it around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such an evolution.
We were talking about that the other day, actually, that it's different, that most of the time when people do reality TV, it has somewhat of a negative effect on their personalities as they keep doing it and get bigger and bigger. They get a little bit more of an ego, et cetera. And it seems to be the reverse with Brendan and Rachel, where they've gotten like nicer and easier and more accepting of the public, et cetera.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like that the Big Brother 12 Rachel was like very insecure, very emotionally fragile. And I do kind of feel like that these returning to the shows, winning Big Brother 13, I'm sure helped. Then coming back and doing the race and you know, and having more success and finding themselves. I think that they really have evolved and are not the, you know, sort of like schizophrenic sort of emotional roller coaster that they were back in that first season of Big Brother.
Yeah, and I think there's probably some stability in the fact that they're now married.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure that she feels more comfortable and confident that they're now married as well.
Yes. All right. Let's take another question. This was one about from Project Mobius, and he wanted to know, how could the two tasks at the detour take such different amounts of time from each other? I know that the crew practices the tasks before they're used on the show, but it seemed like a death sentence to pick Master Mix instead of Mix Master last night. Does that happen where there's one part of the detour that's just way, way harder than the other part, and it just, for whatever reason, the people that tested it didn't have such a hard problem pouring the drinks?
Yeah, I don't think that they have to have two detours that take the exact amount of time either. It's a choice. What do you think you're better at or worse at? There's those needle in a haystack finding type things that you can choose sometimes. People choose them and find them right away, or they take forever. So I don't think that both detours have to be similar in the amount of time that they take. It's just a good choice or a bad choice, or a choice where you switch the detours. If they did, then people would never switch detours. But there's plenty of different detours where they're like, we can't do this, we're switching.
Okay. What would you have picked?
I would have put pick not the drink one. I would have done the music for sure.
Are you surprised more teams didn't switch? Was that because that there was only four rooms that you could practice in?
Possibly, and then maybe, I mean, most of those teams that picked the drink one figured that they were terrible with anything music, or they said things about having terrible rhythm or like, you know, not having that skill. So I guess you never know what the other, how hard the other option is until you try it. So I don't know that they could necessarily just look over and go, oh, that looks easy. Let's go do that.
Yeah. Did you think that Skybar looked like a fun place to hang out? Have you thought about booking a trip there? Now you got to fly into Malaysia.
Malaysia, yeah, I know, and you know, planes are disappearing from there, so I'm not so sure. I mean, yeah, it looks cool. I've hung out at sky bars before. They're always like, you know, have fancy drinks and good views, so why not? Looks cool.
Here's a question from Dale McAtee. He wants to know, I heard you sometimes work with the folks that are voted off of Survivor. Is that before Ponderosa? I would love to hear more about it. Is that something that you can talk about?
I think so. I do work with the people who are voted off Survivor, and it's not the people that are at Ponderosa.
Okay.
So the people that are at Ponderosa are still involved in the show. They're still going back every few days to watch Tribal Council. They vote at the end who wins. The people who are voted out early on are not still part of the show and not still going back, but they can also not go home,
Yeah.
because nobody can know how they did in the show.
Right. So the pre-jury people.
Yep.
And is that fun?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Because I know some of the people that did that on my seasons of Survivor, and it was not always fun for those people, because you got a lot of people that are very upset and like having
And
like
a
a
lot of people
break.
you wouldn't want to date.
Yeah, you have people you don't
True,
want to date.
true. There are definitely moments
Yeah.
where everybody probably wants to kill each other. There are definitely, you know, there's people with hurt feelings and people that are vacationing with people they can't stand, you know? So there is that, but there are definitely a lot of fun moments as well. So if you focus a little bit more on the cool things that are happening around you and a little less on the fact that the guy next to you voted you out of the game, then you're gonna have a good time. So I guess it just depends on you as a person and if you can like get over it and look at it as a game, or if you're going to be completely upset about it for the rest of your life.
Now, how does that compare with people that after they're eliminated from The Amazing Race? Because I feel like that, and again, this is totally my, having been a survivor and not having the background of The Amazing Race, but I feel like there's a lot less known about what goes on with the Amazing Racers after they get eliminated.
Oh, it's the same. You go to a sequester location and you stay there till you can go home. And you do go to the end city, so that you can see who's running into the final pit stop, who's winning, basically. But yeah, you can't go home, obviously, or anybody that knows you or knows about anything will know how you did on the race. So you are at a sequestered location that's confidential.
So,
Yeah, they used to film it for the web and they had like a little web series. They
oh yeah,
stopped doing that.
did they stop doing that?
Yeah, they stopped doing it like 16 or 17, I think.
Okay, yeah, they did that when I was there. And they basically would just film a little bit of it. I mean, they'd film like the new team coming in and what all the other teams thought about it. And I mean, we had a good group of people, but there was still a few hurt feelings and a few little arguments that would break out. But for the most part, you know, it's not a bad place to be.
Now, you've been around survivors that have been voted out of the game and racers who have been out of the game. Who's taking it better? Are the survivors in a worse state than racers that are out of the game?
The survivors are in a worse state by far.
Yeah.
Yeah, by far. I mean, racers can be upset. But a lot of race comes down to you and how you did, and you can take a lot of the responsibility on yourself. There is a little bit of animosity between teams. There can be the U-turns and things like that that can knock you out. But Survivor is people take it very personally. And you know, you might be there with somebody who voted you out. It's not, you didn't come in last in the race to make yourself go out of the game. somebody voted you out and probably lied to your face while doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're definitely way worse off.
Yeah. I guess the better question would be for the Big Brother jury house versus the Survivor jury, that we'd probably only Hayden right. could probably answer that question. Oh, no, he never went to the jury house on Big Brother, so we don't even know.
Right, so he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So, right.
All right, so Jody, tell us if hypothetically people that were in the audience were fit, whatever the demographic was that you were looking for on one of your uh-huh. missions, okay? How do people stand out? And is there any way that people could let it be known they want to be cast on a reality TV show?
Well, plenty of people let it be known. Let me tell you, I get requests daily via Twitter, Facebook, email, all kinds of places. I get people that refer. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to let it be known. But as far as how you stand out to be on a reality show, a lot of times it's your personality. Like, I just watch people, I see people and how they're interacting with others, and we like big personalities.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot.
Now, when you say that you get a lot of emails and contact from people, now, are that people who want to be on the shows for the first time, or does that mostly come from players that have already been on the show and then want to try to get you to help get them on the show again?
Both. All of the above. I get people that have applied 20 times. I get people that have never applied before, but they met somebody who knows somebody who knows me that knows I'm in casting. I get, people that have been on the shows and then they say, hey, I met this girl. I think she'd be awesome on Survivor. Or so a lot of referrals. I randomly approach people that I've never met before in lots of different situations. So I kind of get everything. And when it comes, just to get it out there, when it comes down to putting people back on the shows that have been on, I don't get to vote.
Yeah.
It's the CBS thing. They've already seen you in a season. They know what you bring to the table, and it's their decision who they bring back.
Because I got to think that's pretty annoying, because if you're somebody that has any sort of connection with casting, and you got mm-hmm. these people that are like, and it's always the people that have really no chance, no business. They were lucky they got on the show once. And they are the people that are lobbying the hardest to go back again. And what do you do? What do you do when one of these people is like, hitting you up all the time and say, oh, you got to, help me out. Do you just like be like blunt with them and say, hey, either leave me alone or you're crazy. They're never putting you back on the show. Or do you sort of humor them?
No, I mean, I'm not mean, but at the same, I just say, I don't get to vote. It's up to Lynn. Like, Lynn is the first person that you have to get through to get back on a show. And she knows who you are. She knows what you bring to the table. If she want, when it comes to bring back, if they want you, they're going to give you a call, or they're going to send out an email and get some, inquiry, see if you're interested. So yeah, it's tough. Like, once you've been there, you kind of had your chance. And if they want you back, they know how to find you.
Now, would you ever level with somebody and say, look, that seriously, they're never calling you. Just, you gotta just give this up. It's not happening. Or do you would you let the person keep the dream alive, even if you know there's no chance whatsoever and it's completely false hope?
No, I've told people before, like, it's such a long shot. I mean, you are welcome to try, but it's a huge long shot. Like, do not count on it. I do not think it will happen. But it's amazing how many people you can say, listen, there's nothing I can do. You've exhausted all your options. You're not getting on the show, and they don't hear it.
Yeah.
If that's not what they believe, then they're just not gonna get it.
That's a problem. I feel like that we need like a 12-step program for some of these people that come out of reality.
Do.
And I don't know if we could do it through Rob Has a Podcast, but we need to rehabilitate some of these people, sort of like, when they have like a, when there's like a duck in the oil spill and they go and they like sort of like make them get them better and then they release them back out into the wild. I feel like that's what we need for a lot of the reality people.
I was about to say you could do this as a roundtable Google Hangout. out and I would watch the hell out of it, but then I realized that would be contributing to the problem.
Well, there's the same thing with people that have applied 20 times.
Yeah.
Like if you've applied 20 times and you've turned in 20 tapes, what do you think the chances are that the 21st one's going to work? I mean, chances are you don't have what they're looking for to be on the show.
But don't they
And
tell
you
people like, oh, like Troyzan, how many he applied, what, 24 times, or something like that? Like, isn't that a part of the thing? Like, just keep trying because you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, I've learned in this business, you never say never, because as soon as you say it's never going to happen, it certainly is going to. Like, they're just going to change all the rules and something's going to switch up. So I'm like, oh, there's a shot. It's a long shot, like, for sure. We do like people who really like the show. So, I mean, if you want to keep applying, then keep applying. But I'm thinking we're around the, 20 times of applying. You're not getting something across, or you're not the right type of person. And especially if you've consulted, like you've sent me your tape, and I've said, "Listen, you're not showing the right stuff." And then you've made tapes that we know are the best that you're possibly going to get on tape, and you're still not getting on. Then maybe you don't have what it takes to get on the show.
Is 20 the magic number? Is it like,
No, there's no magic number. Who knows? I mean, it just seems like a lot of times people are like, I've applied 20 times, but no.
Well, here's the thing that people are always asking me that I don't know how to answer. People have asked me, like, if you are really visible in the show's fan circles, does that hurt your chances of being cast on the show? If you post to the Facebook group and whatnot.
I mean, we like fans of the show. We like people, we've had people on the shows that have written their, college papers about the show, et cetera. I think, didn't you do that even,
Yeah,
Rob?
I
Like,
did. I wrote a paper about that. But I was also that I applied to be on Big Brother, and nobody really knew about that I had written a paper in college, and there really wasn't that there was an
it
internet,
didn't
but it
help.
wasn't really
Okay.
it wasn't like what it is now. And
Got
like I
you.
didn't even mention that until I was in the last round of casting, and like Mark Burnett was in the room, and I just talked about how I had written a paper, and Mark Burnett was in the paper that I had written. But it wasn't like there was not a like ravenous, like I wasn't involved with the Survivor internet community at all in 2002 when I was applying to be on Big Brother.
Got you. So, I mean, to answer your question the best that I really can at this time is, you have to watch anything that would look like you have any type of favoritism to win the show. So I think too much involvement with too many people that have won the show or have done well in the show could look bad. And so we're not going to put somebody on that looks like they have an inside track to win.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I know everybody likes to talk about the casting stuff. I just wanted to, is there Jess, is there anything that we feel like from this episode that we didn't hit on? It was the non-elimination leg.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, with the non-elimination leg, we don't have a lot.
Little uneventful that way, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question about these racers. I want to know about Dave and Connor now, who are now in uncharted territory. They only went what the four legs in the, then they had to quit in Amazing Race 22. Now here they are. Now they're back now, and still for them, this is only their eighth leg of racing ever, and they're up
Right.
against stiff competition in the Cowboys, who are there in their third time. The Afghanimals are right there, and they went all the way to the end in their first season, and they still have a lot more experience than Dave and Connor do. Do you think that at some point is that going to be a factor for Dave and Connor that they're so outgunned in the experience of the racing compared to some of these other three-time and two-time teams that went all the way to the end?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty impressed with Dave and Connor. First of all, aren't they don't they have the express pass?
No, it was Cord and Jet.
Oh, Jet and Cord do. Okay. Well, I think okay, so Dave and Connor are really well traveled. And they're smart guys. and I think that they're going to hold their own. Yes, there's people that have a lot more experience. I'm trying to I don't know. I just feel like they're smart. I mean, Luke and Margie have a lot of experience. They're smart. They're athletic. But you just never know when it comes to race if somebody's going to hit one of those things that just screws you up. You know, you get a bad taxi, you get one bad detour, and you could be out of it. So, I mean, I guess at any given point, one of those teams could be out.
Yeah, it's very the experience factor is big, though.
It is. I don't know. I look more. I mean, okay, so Jessica and John, how much have they really raced?
Yeah, that's true. Like, how do they even end up back on the show? Like, there's, you know, that was one that we were scratching our heads, and now is it really just like in? It used to be you had to like there was like a line where you had to get past in the show to even think about coming back. And I kind of feel like the John and Jessicas of the world, even like Francesca, who I love, that once they come back, I feel like it's sort of like now everybody that's ever been on one of the shows thinks I can come back because they brought back people who are, you know, from earlier back in the show. And as yeah, you know, as we dropped Jody, but Jessica, I'm just going to ask you this question. I feel like
okay,
I feel like the more people they bring back from earlier in the shows, I do feel like this hurts the problem that we were talking about of the people who think they're going to come back but really aren't ever going to come back.
Yeah, and that actually they had a team like that in Jody's original season that came back. And they only got invited back because they'd been U-turned.
And that was a big deal?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. They were the first people out.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do? You know, I'm sure somewhere Wanda is saying from Survivor, was that Survivor Palau?
Yeah, Palau.
Saying, hey, they brought back Francesca. Maybe I'm going to come back. So I don't know, and the question right now is going to be if Jody is going to come back.
Should you send her another invite?
No, here she is.
She's back.
Oh yeah. Yay, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we don't know. It's you know, this Google Hangout, it's still in beta.
The
I think
fickle beast.
Yeah I got your question though. You're asking me if there's a line about when you come back and when you don't.
Well, I feel like that the bringing back the early people who were the early boots I think has really hurt made this problem that we were talking about of people who, you know, everybody thinks they're coming back. I think they've made it. It's become more problematic.
Yeah, it can. I mean, I would think for the most part, you just have to make some type of an impression, you know, because you need to be, people kind of need to remember you. But then sometimes, like we said about kind of slots, you have to have everybody kind of represented. So maybe, you know, we needed a young dating couple and that, you know, that was like, hey, they've been on there pretty, you know, maybe they could have done better. Maybe CBS thinks that they have a shot to do better than they did. I mean, they had that whole, they were holding onto Express Pass when they went out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they could have done better if they would have played a little smarter the first time. So maybe, you know, CBS was like, ah, you know, they can compete and they can hold their own in this. They'll just make different choices.
So do you feel like it's a thing, though, that John and Jessica, I mean, had they not gone out with the Express Pass, that they probably wouldn't have come back. If they would have just lost, you know, that leg of the race and not had the Express Pass, you got to figure they probably wouldn't have come back. So is that a thing that if you're going to lose on one of these shows, you should lose in spectacular fashion?
It wouldn't hurt, right? I mean, I think, you need to be memorable. Like, if nobody remembers who you are, then it doesn't make any sense to bring you back as a returning player. So, yeah, I mean, go out, go big. Go big or go home, right?
I feel like that's a move. I feel like if you were, like, on Survivor or Big Brother or something like that, and things looked pretty bad, and you were like, yeah, I'm definitely not going to win, but I'm not totally out of the game, but I'm going to make such a colossal mistake that it's going to be so memorable that they'll bring me back. Is that
along the lines of Jatia dumping out all the rice?
That's what I was thinking too, exactly. And then she didn't even go home. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that what Brandon Hance was thinking? Was that his move?
I don't know if Brandon Hance is thinking.
All right.
I think he's more of a reactor.
Could be more of a reactor. Mm-hmm. All right. So Jess, anything else from this episode as we start to move into the middle stages now of this Amazing Race All-Stars?
I can't think of anything else from this episode in particular.
All right. Jody, did you feel anything else that you wanted to get across? Anything you want to let people know who are the Amazing Race hopefuls who have been now even more excited that Amazing Race has been picked up for season 25?
Right. I think when you're making a tape, it's really important to interact a lot on the tape. Don't take turns. Don't say, you talk about yourself, and then I'm going to talk about myself. Like, you need to interact just like you would if you were out drinking a beer or out at dinner. You know, we want to see, the whole point is how you interact together. So it's not good to create a script and then you talk and then they talk and then you talk and then they talk. If it's boring, you're not going to get called.
Yeah, that's good advice. You know, I never, I haven't talked to too many people who have ever, said, hey, we really want to get on the Amazing Race. Like, what should we do on our tape or anything like that? So that's actually a really good point.
Yeah, because I get that all the time, Rob.
Okay. People just go to, they cut me out of the equation. They go right to you, Jess.
Apparently. You know, if I hear of anybody really good, I'll send them your way, Jody.
Okay, and just this will help possibly. On Facebook, under my notes section, I have some example videos for both Survivor and Amazing Race. I have some information about what we're looking for. And a lot of times when people call, you know, randomly go, hey, I don't, you know, what should I put on my tape? I just send them right to that notes section because it's been a little bit since I've updated it, but it's pretty much the same stuff. There are some examples. They can see kind of what to do, because I think there's a lot of people out there that just are pretty clueless about the way it needs to be made.
Yeah. Can I ask you one more question about getting involved in casting? That I've always wondered this. So the people that go on the show and then they go on to work in casting. Now, is that, do you express interest to Lynn and the people that work in casting? Or in my mind, how it always worked was sort of like, I don't know if you ever watched Lost, but that it's sort of like when Jacob came and found like the Oceanic Six or the I forget what they called the people that were written on the cave wall, where he like touched them and said, I want you to come to the island and work for me. Which thing is it? Is it, do they reach out or do you reach out to them?
It's a lot more like Lost. Yeah. Lynn calls you up and says, hey, do you want to do this casting thing? And I'm like, sure, what do you want me to do? And it starts as a temporary kind of a deal. There's very few of us that have done it. You know, Erica Landon from Big Brother, mm-hmm. and me and Jamie Huffman. We've got Allie in there now that just came off of Survivor. And she has a certain type of person that she thinks will do a good job at it. And I think after watching and going through all your casting and probably your psych tests and everything else, she picks you out for the job.
Yeah, well, they have like, you know, the files on all the reality people that they have. It's like, I don't know if they just like run it through an algorithm or if Lynn can just tell like, okay, this person would be good, this person would be not good. How come it's never a guy? How come that it's always women from these shows? Is it sexism?
I don't know. I don't think. I mean, there's a guy named Jesse that works in casting for Race and he's great. So I don't know that I don't know.
Okay.
Lynn picks who Lynn picks, just like she does in casting. She knows what she's doing.
I think that hopefully one day a male from a reality show will be able to be like Jackie Robinson and make all of the male reality stars. He will break into casting.
Yeah, it could be, you know, think about it. If you're like approaching some random like hot girl on the internet, do you think it's a little bit easier for me to approach her and her not be threatened, or just some guy that was on a reality show?
Because you know some guy on a reality show has used that line on women.
Oh,
before.
Yeah. Oh, I've had him. I think it was Howie from Big Brother.
Yeah.
Before I ever met him, and I think I have met him now, but before I ever met him, I think I got the Facebook message, when are we going to make out?
There you go. He was telling women that he was casting for a reality show. Is that what his move was?
Nope. He just wanted to know when we were going to make up. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that probably goes out to several of the girls that had been on reality TV shows.
Now,
so just different, you know, but a little less threatening when I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, have you ever thought about being on Survivor?
So is that a mass message that Howie from Big Brother sends out to people, or is that, do you feel like that was individual, specific to you?
No, I think it's an individual message, but I don't think I'm the only one that has gotten it.
It's a copy and paste job. Yeah.
Probably, but something like that. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jody, thank you so much for sharing some insight about the race and casting. It was a lot of fun.
Sure. Thank you okay. very much.
All right. So that Jody, your Twitter is at Jody Winczewski, right?
Yeah, real original, right?
Okay, hey, look, be straightforward. Don't be like one of these things where it's like Jody underscore 97, you know, three letters.
Yeah.
Yeah, who can remember that?
Or, you know, something that has nothing to do with your actual name. Who does that?
But, well, you know.
Winczewski's hard enough.
Yeah. And of course, Jessica Lee, she's at Haymaker Hattie. I am at Rob Sestrino. We'd love to hear your comments about this show on robhaswebsite.com. And on YouTube. And then we are going to get ready for Wednesday. Get ready to do Survivor all over again. Join us for Survivor Know It Alls live after the episode. We're actually going to get started a little bit later this week. Steven has another, he has something earlier in the night. So we can't get to it until 10 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. So a little bit of a special time, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for Survivor Know It Alls. And then I'll speak to the next person kicked off the show on Thursday morning. And then we'll have our big Survivor podcast with Survivor Philippines winner Denise Stapley will be our guest on Thursday. So a lot to do here on Rob's podcast. Very busy week. So take care, everybody. Have a great week. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.